It's the night of the Last Supper, and Jesus is with his apostles for the last time, and he's saying to them, he's giving them this new commandment. Imagine you're there, you're receiving this new commandment. Oh, what's this going to be? Okay, love as I've loved you. Okay, that doesn't seem so bad, right? Up until this point, I mean, what's Jesus done? Well, you know, he's had some meals with some people, he's multiplied bread, he's changed water into wine. Those are really nice and loving things to do. And the apostles are thinking, like, yeah, I can love people like that. That sounds great. And then the next day, what does Jesus do? Well, he goes and gets himself crucified. And then that just changes everything he just said. Oh, he said we got to love like he did, and then he went and did that? Ah, come on. But then you're like, okay, but he said, I mean, you can just see the apostles doing this. We do this too. We're always trying to finagle. We're looking for loopholes. Well, he said, lay down your life for your friends, right? So I don't have to lay down my life for my enemies. And then John's like, yeah, but I was his only friend there. And like there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans. And like he was loving them and laying down his life for them as well. And then Matthew's probably like, yeah, and you guys remember when he was like, you've heard it said that you should love your friends and hate your enemies, but then I tell you to love even your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, and there was that whole, like, you know, Good Samaritan thing, because that Pharisee was like, well, we got to love our neighbor, but who's my neighbor? And then Jesus basically said that your enemies are your neighbors, and I'm just not finding any loopholes anymore. And so then what did they do? They all went off and got martyred because they realized that's it. That's what the master did. That's what the master told us to do. That's what we got to do. We got to love and lay down our lives for those who don't even love us in return. And of course, that's what martyrs have continued to do through the centuries, even up until our own century. And today we have the great privilege of celebrating the feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe, our patron saint, who literally did exactly what the gospel asked him to do. He literally exchanged his life, laid down his life for another. And I think it's always good on this feast day just to recount that story, the story we know so well, but so beautiful and so packed with so much inspiration for us. So, of course, it was the end of July, and there they were in Auschwitz, and somebody had escaped. And the rule was, if somebody escapes, then 10 men take his place. Because they wanted to discourage that as much as possible. So unless you were really at the end of your rope, really crazy, or really just didn't care about anybody, which was probably most of the people in there, most of the people didn't try to escape because they knew it was basically impossible, actually. But this one man, he somehow made it out. So all the men are called into the courtyard, and they're standing there for hours and hours as they're searching the camp, looking for somebody, looking for this man. Maybe he's hiding somewhere. They're searching for hours, and they just had to stand at attention in the hot, hot sun without food, without water, and stay without falling over, without getting out of line. And then, of course, they can't find him, so the rule is being implemented. 10 men have to take his place. So Commandant Fritz, he's walking up and down the ranks. Every time he walks by, your heart stops because it could be me. And he calls one, and he calls two, and he calls three. And what's going on in the minds of these men at this moment? Well, I think that there is probably a lot of self-thought. Don't pick me, pick him. I can't, not me, pick him. Don't breathe. Don't look at him. Don't look up. I bet there was also a lot of hate. Like, why would that guy do that? Why would he do that? He knew that this would happen to us. I hate that man. I hate this Fritz. I hate this war. I hate the Nazis. Just a lot of hate going on. What was St. Maximilian thinking during this episode? Well, just before the gospel reading that we got, just verses before, Jesus gives us a really important secret. And he just says, remain in me. Remain in me. And I think this is what Jesus teaches. This is what Maximilian is doing. He's just remaining in the Father's love. He's just remaining in Christ's heart. He's just staying in that place, and he's loving. He's praying for those who are persecuting him. He's praying for the man who escaped. He's praying for Commandant Fritz. He's praying for all the men standing around him that they'll have hope, they'll have confidence, they'll keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. And then the 10th man is chosen, Francis Gajavnovich. And he starts weeping, he starts bawling. Probably the other men are like, get it together, man. We're all in the same spot. Don't think that you're any more important than us. But he's just weeping, crying out, I have a wife, I have a kid, I have kids. And here at this moment, this is the pivotal moment. And we know what St. Maximilian Kolbe did. And what would we have done? What were all the other men doing? Nobody else thought to jump out. Nobody else thought to take his place. Because we tend to make calculations, right? And maybe one of us, hopefully, we would lay down our lives for a friend, family member, our children. We would gladly exchange our life with somebody who we knew, who we loved. But this was actually a stranger. Father Kolbe and this man Francis didn't know each other. In fact, Francis, who survived Auschwitz, survived the war, he later said this. He didn't understand what was going on. He couldn't comprehend how a complete stranger would offer to take his spot. And that's exactly what happened. Maximilian broke rank. He walked forward. All the guards are kind of like looking at each other, shrugging. Commandant Fritz takes a step back because he's so surprised at what's going on. And Father Kolbe simply says, I'd like to take this man's place. I don't think that there was anything in the SS handbook manual for prisoners that considered this possibility. I don't think Fritz had any idea of what he should do next. There's nothing he can consult, say, hey, if you're condemning a bunch of people to the starvation bunker and one of them decides to take the spot of another one, this is what you do. He was totally caught off guard. And so he kind of says, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. And in that moment where Francis and Kolbe are passing, Francis only had a moment to exchange a glance with Father Kolbe. And just hope that he saw the gratitude in his soul. And for Father Kolbe's part, how heroic is it to exchange your life for a stranger? He didn't know this man, which makes you think, if he didn't even know this guy, they've been in the prison camp maybe for weeks, maybe for months together, and not once did Francis seek out the priest. Not once did he get counsel from him. Not once did he try to go to confession to him. Not once did he go to his prayer services. I don't know what kind of faith this man had. I don't know what kind of life this man lived. But that didn't cross Maximilian's mind. He didn't say, well, you know, maybe I'll just hold out for the next time there's a prison break and then I'll exchange my life for one of these guys that I like. One of these guys I know really well. He said, no, this is the opportunity and I'm taking it. I'm going to lay down my life for my friends. And who are my friends? Even my enemies. So everybody's my friend. So of course, Maximilian and these nine other men go to the starvation bunker, which is not a lovely place to be, of course. And yet, what does Kolbe do? He sings. He prays. He comforts the other men. On August 14th, 14 days later, the guards came in to give him a lethal injection. The reason why they had to give him this lethal injection was because they needed to make space for other people to use the starvation bunker. That doesn't make any sense at all. Well, we'll just throw the other men in there. What difference does it make? I think the real reason why they wanted to get rid of St. Maximilian Kolbe, it's because they couldn't handle his love anymore. They couldn't stand looking at this man who had laid down his life, who had exchanged his life for someone else, because they didn't understand that. They couldn't comprehend it, and every time they saw him, it pierced their heart to the core to realize that this man was on a different league than they were as human beings. And every time they would have to walk into that room, he would look up at them with just this serene, piercing gaze of love. The same piercing gaze of love with which Jesus looked at all the people who passed by him when he was hanging on the cross. And they would yell at him, "Look at the ground, not at me." And so they had to finish him off. And it's that witness that we get to celebrate today, that this is possible with God's grace. That it's possible to love those we don't really want to love. It's possible to lay down our lives for those we don't even know. And I think on the feast day of St. Maximilian, there's many blessings, there's many graces for us, for our parish. And I would just ask, as we're preparing the altar for the holy sacrifice of the Mass that St. Maximilian lived with his very life, that we ask the Lord, we ask St. Max, who in my life do I need to love? Who in my life do I need to lay down my life for that I don't even want to think about right now? Who in my life do I need to forgive? Who in my life do I need to call my friend? Because that's the witness of St. Max, that's the witness of the martyrs, and that's the witness of all Christians through all time, that we love when it's not easy. And every time we come to Mass, every time we approach the altar, every time we receive Holy Communion, we receive the grace to love those who we don't want to love. Every time I, as a priest, say those words, "This is my body given up for you." Of course, those are Jesus' words. I say those, and I don't say them on my own. I say them in the person of Jesus. He's the one who makes this happen. And yet, I try to unite my own prayer, my own heart with this prayer that, yes, this is my body. I want to give my body up like Jesus did, like St. Maximilian Kolbe did. Every single one of us, let's make that our prayer today. This is my body. And just like you, Lord, let me lay it down like our patron saint did today. Jesus gives us the grace to do what he did, to show the greatest love that was ever shown, to lay down our life for our friends. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us.